Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skyler Fleming. Today we have a great guest, the college dude, Danny Sinowitz. We're going to be talking about what you should do to start thinking about college. If you or your kids are going to college, this is going to be a good episode to listen to, or share it with a friend who has kids going to college. We even get to talk about how to prepare if you don't currently have kids, or if you have very, very young kids, and maybe college isn't on that immediate horizon. There are a lot of great takeaways from today's episode. And of course, you can find Danny's information in the show notes. I have four money talking points for today's episode. They are, first, what steps do I need to take to ensure my financial foundation is in place? Second, if your financial foundation is in place, do you want to save for your kid's future college expenses? Third, what colleges would be of interest for my kid to go to college? And fourth, how much could I contribute towards a college savings account? With those talking points in mind and your notes app ready, let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this issue is what brought Money Talk with Skyler Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast, Money Talk with Skyler Fleming, comes into play. I'm your host, Skyler Fleming. I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance. The goal is just to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. A couple quick things before we get into today's interview. First, we're talking all things college today. So if you know someone who's preparing for their kids to go to college, or they have a few years until that happens, share today's episode with them. And we're also going to talk about what to do when you're considering saving for a future college expense and how that can impact your life. So there's a lot of good impacts from today's episode. Let's go over a few. First, start out by figuring out your college list or your kid's college list and understand what that's going to look like for your kid. College isn't getting cheaper, so this is a good start. And get started earlier and earlier so you can be prepared. The best thing you can do is get started with the savings habit if you want to support your kids through college. This could be saving a lot of money. This could be saving a very little bit of money, but just get started with that habit. You could save a lot of money in the long term on taxes. There's also some great legacy planning that we're going to talk about in today's interview around the 529 plan, since you can keep the money and pass it on as a beneficiary. Plus, we're going to have a great conversation on whether or not you should even pay for your kids' college. There's going to be a lot to consider, and we're going to have a great conversation around today's topic in today's interview. One of the main takeaways I got is just make sure you're having a conversation and talk around college and talk about the expectation around college payments and who's paying for college. But how do you use and implement this information? One of the great takeaways I got is don't pigeonhole yourself and don't think you have to go all in all at once. You don't have to somehow figure out how to save $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 all at once. Get started with some small automatic savings. If that's a goal of yours, if you want to save for college, start with something small. Make sure you're taking care of yourself first, which leads us into the financial foundation. It's a great first step to check the rest of your financial foundation. You want to make sure your retirement savings are set before any future college savings. You also want to make sure you don't have credit card debt piling up, because that just really hinders you all the way around. And then once you're to the point where you can start saving for college or that future expense, and if you want to do that, make sure you build that college list so you can start getting your mind wrapped around pricing. Then look at your 529 plan options nearby or in other states, or look at other savings vehicles. And then take advantage of that tax code where you can for these savings. But let's get right into today's great interview with the college dude. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's interview. I'm here with the college dude, and we're going to be talking all things college and how you should start thinking about college. This is going to be a great conversation, and I'm really excited for this one. But Danny, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah. My name is Danny Sinowitz. I'm a CFP professional from just outside of Philadelphia, about an hour or two outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I've been in the industry for about 10 years, but I focus primarily on families, particularly parents helping their children, high school age children, prepare for college.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. There's a lot of people going to college, so there's always people with a need there. That's fantastic.
For sure.
Awesome. Well, let's get right into it. And let's talk about what should a family with young kids do when they start thinking about college?
Yeah, I think it, depending on how far along, the children are, as people get closer to deciding that college is for them, really for them, it's really a matter of figuring out what that college list would look like and the best ways in which they can save for college, and then determining how much that college is going to cost. You know, if you've been following, if anybody has been following the cost of college recently, it's typically not going down. I mean, it's been going up. So the earlier that you can save as a young family, the better for children, or whether you have one child or multiple children. You want to make sure that you're doing everything you can to save for it. So there's a couple of good vehicles that you can use that are geared towards college. But specifically, the best thing that you can do is just get in the habit of saving and making sure that you're taking care of the other areas of your financial life in addition to saving for college.
Yeah, I think the thing I caught there is that a habit, getting that started, because if you talk about wanting to have the, you want to support your kids through college, whether it's paying for all of it or even just some of it, I think you can keep talking about that forever, but if you never start that habit, even if it's just a small amount, you're never really going to get there. It's all going to be talk.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people have these grand goals, but if the behaviors don't match up with the goals, you're never going to reach them. So it's the discipline and it's the habit of getting into making sure that you're following those good habits. And if you can do that, usually the goals are become a little bit more realistic. And then there's certainly some things you can do on the periphery, but if you're not saving money, it's going to be hard to find a way to pay for college, unless your child is a star athlete or has some, you know, really incredible gifts. Otherwise, we'll say yeah. it's usually it's tough to find a way to pay for schooling that way.
Yeah. And I think One idea that I talk a lot about is automation. And I think this could help here, especially if you're starting young. The whole idea behind the book Automatic Millionaire that I share so much is that you're probably not going to miss that 1 or 2% and your lifestyle is going to adjust. So like, if you just start making those automatic contributions to whatever account, and we'll get into some in today's episode, but if you just start those contributions, I think it'll get a lot easier and the rest of your life will adjust around it.
That's completely well said. I can't agree more. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, let's say someone's a brand new parent, or their parents or their kids are very, very young and college is so far away that they couldn't even dream about 18 or 16 years going by that fast. What should they start thinking about?
Yeah, I think many parents will tell you that it does go by quickly. But for that being said, for folks that have younger children, I'm actually one of them. My daughter's only 15 months old. So really the thing that I think a lot of parents can again, first off, getting into the habit of saving money. But there are, I think, ways you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into necessarily just one account or another when it comes to saving for college. There are some plans, the most popular one being the 529 plan. I think it has some tremendous benefits to it, but there are also some penalties that could be associated with it if the child does not go to college. So when it comes to just new parents and what should you be doing, I certainly don't have any problem with them looking into opening a 529 plan, but don't be saving all your money there that you're planning to gear towards college. I think it's good to make sure that you're taking care of some of the other things within your financial life, whether it be building an emergency fund, avoiding credit card debt, and really looking to start for retirement as well, and just kind of saving, getting into the habit of saving for other aspects of your life. But it's very hard to tell if the child's going to go to college at 15 months. You get a better idea if you're going to college at 15 years old. So I don't think it's a good idea necessarily to pigeonhole yourself into just one account or one strategy when the children are that young.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the things that I commonly hear is maybe don't start saving for college until you have the rest of your ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. Like, one of my favorite things that I hear is there's college loans, but there's not retirement loans. So like, your kid might have to get a student loan, but you're not going to be able to get a loan for retirement when you need to hit that point. So I think, especially with those young kids, make sure you're not just shoveling all your money towards their college. You got to make sure to take care of yourself too.
Completely well said. Yeah. I think it's one thing if the college is paid for, but the rest of your financial life is a mess. I don't think that's really what anybody wants to gear towards. And unfortunately, I think what we find is if all the money is geared towards college, but then you need to tap into those college accounts and it's not used for education, it kind of really, again, defeats the purpose. You're going to pay a penalty. There could be taxes with that. So just kind of getting a plan in place of what you want to do. College can be a part of that plan, but it shouldn't be the plan itself.
Yeah, I love that. But you've mentioned a couple of times the 529 or 529 plan. What is that and how can it be beneficial?
Yeah, good question. So it's become popular in recent years. The 529 plan is it's a special section in the IRS code that allows for the a saver to be able to put money away on a tax deferred basis. And then you can actually take the funds out tax free if used for qualified education expenses. So the 529 plan is, it's at the federal level. There are federal tax rules that are associated with it. However, each state has their own 529 plan. So it's administered by the state in which you choose to go through. So there's a number of different 529 plans out there, but I do think the big thing that you want to do, again, if you're looking to save for college, a 529 plan is usually a pretty good place to start, and certainly has some flexibility built in with it as well. You can use it for K through 12 tuition, not just college tuition. And then you can also use it for purposes outside of just college expenses. You can use it to pay off student loans. And one of the other things that they've recently enacted is that you can transfer beneficiaries. So if you have multiple kids or even a cousin or a nephew, you can open it in one child's name. But if it's determined that that child's not going to use it, or they're not going to plan to go to college, or they get a full ride, whatever the case may be, you can always transfer it to another beneficiary or another child. And you can do that tax-free. So there's a lot of benefits to it. I think 529 plans, the biggest thing is, again, the taxable advantages that you can see inside of a 529 plan.
Yeah, I love the idea of being able to change beneficiaries, because then you almost get to leave like this little bit of a college legacy, I guess. Like if one kid goes to college, but maybe that plan has more money in it than they need, you keep it there, and then maybe you help your grandkids or something like that. So I think there's definitely some options with it, like you said.
Yeah. And just like you said, it's a good way, I think, to just make sure from a legacy standpoint, I think it becomes a big play. But from a penalty standpoint, because, you know, the one downside of the 529 plan is that if you don't use it for qualified education expenses. So if, you know, if I had $15,000 in an account for my daughter and she wanted to use it to buy a new car, she could do that, but she'd have to pay the penalty, the 10% penalty. And then also the interest, the growth would be taxable as income. So you really want to make sure if you're saving it towards college, or I'm sorry, if you're saving money in a 529, you're planning to use it towards college. Mm-hmm. And that's really the best way to make sure to utilize those plans.
Yeah, I would think if you put money in there, just accept that it's education money and then keep passing it around to family and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, I've heard some 529 plans in some states are better than others. Is this true? Which ones are the best? Like, how do we judge that?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's a lot of 529 plans out there. So again, you know, a lot of them have their own benefits and some drawbacks. But the first thing I think that you want to do is understand your state tax rules. So I live in Pennsylvania. So for our state, you can actually invest in any state's plan. It doesn't matter if it's the Pennsylvania plan, the New Jersey plan, Utah, wherever you want to go, any state. If I were to invest in any state's plan, I get the state tax deduction from Pennsylvania. However, there are some states which, like the neighboring state to us, New Jersey, they only allow you to deduct your state tax. You're only able to deduct your state, your income. I'm sorry. You're only able to deduct your contributions to get that state tax deduction if you contribute to the New Jersey plan. So each state has their own separate rules. Some states don't have state income tax, so it really doesn't matter for them. Other states will offer a state credit if you invest in their plan. So a good example is Indiana. They can give you a state credit. So really it starts with that as the starting point. And it could vary from state to state. But if we're looking at some of the better plans, Morningstar, which does a lot of research on some 529 funds and mutual funds in general, they give like their two highest ratings to the Michigan plan and the Utah plan. So one of the reasons that is because they're low fees. They have low fees, high investment choices, and some things that I think are the ease of use for a lot of those plans allows them to get such a good rating. But again, I'd recommend just kind of working with either an advisor or accountant to figure out which one is best for you as an individual, because depending on your state of residence, that could sway the decision in terms of your best investment choice.
Yeah, where some of that tax stuff starts to come in, that's where it's important to consider someone who's like certified in that area and like who has the professional licenses to give advice on that sort of stuff.
100%.
I know I've heard before that the Utah plan is one of the best, and I live in Utah, so I like to tout that as Since I'm such a money nerd, I'm like, yeah, we got one of the best 529 plans. So
and full disclosure, actually my plan is through the Utah plan. So that
there we go.
I'll definitely say we've had a good experience with it, but it really does depend, I think, on your state residence to make that decision. But for us, when we did our research, that's what really ended up being the best choice.
Awesome. Well, that's cool. I've heard a lot about that. So thanks for explaining a little bit more about that plan. Yeah, that was really beneficial for me, and I'm sure our audience as well. But
yeah,
I think we've kind of touched on this conversation a little bit, but let's maybe wrap up an entire topic here of, should you pay entirely for your kids' college?
Yeah, I think that that one is a good question. It depends a lot for family dynamics and for how the student dynamics as well. I think some parents had their college paid for, so they kind of want to make that same promise to their children. The problem is college maybe 20 to 30 years ago is a lot different than college today. So it really depends on individuals' goals. I'm one of six children, so there was no way my parents were going to pay for all of our college. They said, you're on your own if you want to do that. But for, parents that maybe only have one or two that can afford it, they may want to. But I think it's important that the child have some skin in the game, whether that be they work and pay for some of the costs, whether they take out loans and help to pay as well. Another thing, and I know you had on the show previously, Dave, the scholarship coach, he does I think his message is great because the child's working to get scholarships. So it's a way that they can pay for schooling in a different way, I think, the non-traditional way, but by applying for scholarships and being able to help pay for it. Those are ways in which you can really defray the cost of college. So personally, I think it's really whatever the parents' goals are and the maturity of the student, but a lot's going to actually depend on that net price. And for some parents, it's just not realistic, unfortunately.
Yeah. And one of the things I love to say is that it's important we talk about money so we all do better with money. And I think that certainly applies to this conversation. Like you said, there were six kids in your family. So like the expectation was there that you're not going to get your college paid for. And I think making sure that expectation is laid out so that your kid doesn't go their whole life thinking, oh yeah, my parents are going to pay for college because all of my friends say their parents are going to pay. So you got to make sure to have that talk.
Yeah. And it's really well said there because, my parents' financial situation and my merit situation was a lot different than some of my friends. So even though we were going to the same school, the net price that my parents and I would have been paying is a lot different than what, one of my friends would have been paying. So it's important, I think, that you have that conversation. I think it's, when you're 17, 18 years old, you start to become an adult and it's important you understand how money works and you're making a sizable investment when you go to a college. You could be investing, anywhere from the low end, maybe 75 to 100,000 to up to 300,000 with what colleges are costing these days. So it's important to make sure that the conversation's had between parents and children.
Yeah. There's a lot of money that can go in there and a lot of tension, I guess they can ride on one decision or the other. So it's important to talk about it with each other.
Tension is the right word. Yes. Yes, for sure.
Well, if retirement is a larger goal for me, so my wife and I are both pretty young and I like to talk about us investing for the retirement. We don't have any kids now, but retirement's a pretty big focus for us. But let's say we do have kids in the future and we want to look at maybe saving for college. How do we balance those goals between retirement and saving for kids' colleges?
Yeah, it's a great question. Again, I think it comes back to finding out what your goals are, but there are kind of some thoughts behind how much you should be putting towards college and how much you should be putting towards retirement. Really, I think some high level general advice would be, if you do have a retirement plan at work, to at least be contributing up to the match of what you're getting from your employer at a minimum. And then from there, it's like I said, just making sure that the other goals are taken care of, because if you don't have a properly funded emergency fund, if you have high credit card debt, if you have negative cash flow, if you, if your other goals aren't in order, if your financial life is in order, then if your financial life isn't in order, then it's going to be a lot harder to save for college, I think. And really, I think it's finding that balance of making sure that everything is on pace of what it should be, that your debt goals are being reached. You can run some retirement projections to make sure that you're on pace. But college should be one of the last things I think that a family is looking to when it comes to saving for uh, on a on a monthly basis. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't be saving at all, but I do think you want to address those other areas of your life first. I certainly encourage families to at least make sure that they're on pace for their own goals, and then they can always supplement that with some college savings as well.
Yeah, I really like that approach. I think the considering it to be one of the last things is probably best, especially if you're buried in credit card debt. I just talked to someone the other day in one of the upcoming episodes where they had just this crazy amount of credit card debt. And for me, to them, or in their situation, I'd say, like, how in the world would you save for college? There's just no way.
Yes. Yeah.
He was having like thousands of dollars worth of credit card payments a month. Like, that's not possible to find the rest of the money for college.
Yeah. And it's not just, it's any goal, really. I think, unfortunately, that credit card debt gets in the way of, and I think the hierarchy of needs, college is not the foundational piece per se. College is definitely more after certain other areas of your life are being addressed. And again, you know, for some people, college is super important. So I would say maybe for them, it is a little bit higher on the priority list, but generally speaking, for most families, it's just laying the foundation, you know, positive cash flow, saving in that emergency fund, avoiding the credit card debt, making sure you're paying that off every month. And then from there, once you have those things addressed and other goals are being accomplished, retirement's being saved for, I think you can have that college conversation.
Yeah. Once those foundational things are in place, that's when you can start to open up some of those opportunity doors and some of those savings goals.
Exactly.
Well, with college coming up, what are some documents or maybe things that people should be aware of? How do they keep those in mind as they prepare for when college is approaching? I know you mentioned the scholarship coach that I had on previously. We talked a little bit about the FAFSA there. Is there maybe some things around that that should be kept in mind or other things as well?
Yeah, for sure. And it's actually a timely question because this coming year, there's going to be a pretty significant change to the FAFSA. Again, the free application for federal student aid. There was a law passed just a couple of years ago called the FAFSA Simplification Act that is going to be taking effect this coming fall winter. So the FAFSA, normally you would fill out the senior year in October of your senior year, but this year it's going to be pushed back by a couple of months to December. And so some of the changes that are going to be in there, I think there are some positive changes, but there's also a couple of negative changes that are taking place. But with the FAFSA, it used to be 108 questions, really a behemoth of a form that you would really need to go through, especially for a first timer. But they've shortened it now down to between 36 to 46 questions, somewhere in that range, depending on how you answer some of the questions. But you want to make sure that you have your income, really your tax returns from a couple of years ago. So if you're filing this year, it would be the 2022 tax return that you have. And then you also want to make sure you have a list of assets. So the FAFSA is not going to consider every single asset that you have, for example, retirement accounts, home equity, things like annuities. They're not going to be assessed. So you don't need to report that on the FAFSA, but you do need things like if you have a brokerage account or a non-qualified account in which you have some stocks, if you have, you know, any checking, savings, CDs, really an asset list, 529 plans are included in there as well. A list of assets gathered that you can, as you're approaching school, you want to make sure that you have this readily available to put onto the FAFSA, because you want to make sure your reporting is correct. And then once you input all that data, your number will spit out the student aid index, and that'll be the starting point to let you know how much you probably can and should be able to afford for school.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a good overview there. I'm kind of jealous that it's changing, because me and my wife, she's in PA school right now and nearing the end. So we're just getting to the point where we don't need to submit them every year. And of course, now is when it's getting shorter.
Right. We've been doing it for six
or 8 years. Yeah. So I'm kind of jealous for everyone getting that change now. So make sure you're filling that out, especially if it is getting a little easier, because it wasn't terribly difficult. It just took a little bit of time.
Yeah. Yeah. And once I think you've gotten the hang of it, it does become easier from year to year. But for first timers, they can look at it and say, this is a lot. So, but yeah, it should be easier for families moving forward.
Yeah. I remember the first time I filled it out, it was asking for all these different IRS documents I'd never heard of. I'm 17 years old. I'm like, what does this even mean? How do I do tax returns from 2 years ago? I thought you submitted them in April or something like that. So
yeah.
It could be confusing out the gate, but it's not that bad, especially once you get used to it. So
for sure. For sure.
Awesome. I think this has been a fantastic conversation. I really think it's been a lot insightful for me as well. I tell everyone that these podcast interviews are kind of selfish for me because I get to learn so much from great guests. So fun conversation. I'm sure our audience as well took some good tips away from it. Danny, is there any way that people can find you online, or where can they reach you?
Yeah. So first off, I appreciate you having me. And again, your show, you cover a broad range of topics, but you ask a lot of good questions with it. So today was no exception. Appreciate you having me on. But yeah, you can check out my website, www.thecollegedude.com. So on there, there are a couple of resources. There's a blog that we write. And then, you know, just some other resources you can see on there, some recorded webinars and whatnot. But I also have a document. It's a Google sheet, but it goes into detail, I think, for families trying to get organized when it comes to comparing school lists. So if you have your 10 schools that are on the list and you're ready to start applying, it's a way that you can organize some of that data and track and just compare some of the cost as well. So if you want, you can email me. My email is dan@Hyperion, Hyperion. And that's FPeter.com. And then I will send you that it's completely free if you would want that. But it's a way to track your college list per se and give you a better idea of what you'd be spending. But yeah, appreciate you having me on, Skylar, though. This was great.
Awesome. Yeah. Free documents, free spreadsheets are great. And I'm sure if they have questions, if they start filling it out, can they reach out to you with those questions?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm free to have it, you know, answer any questions that folks may have.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on today's episode. This has been a fun conversation. And yeah, we'll make sure to send everyone your way with your links in the show notes, of course.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Skylar.
What a great interview. And I hope you took away as many great tips as I did from that interview with Danny. Really big thank you to Danny for coming on today's episode. I want to talk about the money talking points real quick. The first one: what steps do I need to take to ensure my financial foundation is in place? Well, this is things like getting out of debt, sticking to a budget, having a healthy emergency fund, and retirement savings. Those key things are essential before you start saving for other people's expenses, like your kids. Yes, I know it can maybe seem a little bit harsh, but student loans exist. Retirement loans don't exist. So you want to make sure your retirement especially is in place and you're set up for that before you start saving to pay for your kids' weddings, colleges, or anything like that. The second money talking point is, if your financial foundation is in place, do you want to save for your kids' future college expenses? This is just a talking point to get you talking about this idea. Maybe you don't want to do it because you had to pay your whole way through college and work your whole way through college. Maybe you do because you had to work your whole way through college and you don't want your child to have to deal with that. You want them to just be able to go to college, have fun at college, and learn at college. Maybe you want to pay for it, like Danny said, because your parents paid for your college and you want to keep passing that legacy down in your family. There's a lot of things to talk about there. So that one's really just to get a conversation going. The third money talking point is, what colleges would be of interest for my kid to go to college? This is something that was mentioned by the College Dude to get started with, because it builds a list so that you can wrap your mind around price and figure out where you really want to go. And is it realistic? Or what are you thinking when it comes to college, when which college you're going to choose? The fourth money talking point: how much could I contribute towards a college savings account? This is something that I wanted to include in here because maybe your number right now is zero. Maybe it's $15, but you don't have any kids yet and you want to start building this 529 account, but you're not sure how much you could put towards it. $15 isn't a lot of money. Maybe that's all you can do. And that's perfect. Have a conversation about how much you can contribute towards that account. But let's wrap up today's episode with an announcement as well next. Thank you so much to the College Dude for coming on today's episode. That was a fantastic conversation around the idea of saving for college in the future. And what do you even start thinking about when it comes to paying for your kids' college? If you have someone that you know who is going through this situation where they're paying for a kid's future college expense, make sure to share this episode with them and then have a money talk about it. That's one way that we can do better with money, is by starting to talk about it. But the announcement that I wanted to make is that I now have free consultation calls for my financial coaching services bookable for free. There's a link in the show notes if you want to book a time with me. We could answer any questions that you might have, dive a little deeper into your personal finance situation, and explore what financial coaching might look like for you. So check out that link in the show notes, as well as check out any of Danny's links in the show notes. If you have questions for him, of course you can reach out to him. I'm sure he would be happy to answer your questions around saving for college. If you have any questions that you'd like to see covered on this podcast, please send them to my email, which is in the show notes, but it's moneytalk@skylarfleming.com. But thank you for listening to today's episode. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.